Well, good morning. I understand how idioms work. I mean, I know that when they say, hey, get off my back, it doesn't mean that someone's actually on your back. But I think putting your foot in your mouth or sticking your foot in your mouth is sort of a terrible idiom, right? It doesn't work. And here's why it doesn't work for me. Is because it's very, very hard to put your foot in your mouth, right? In fact, almost impossible if you're over the age of 20 and not some sort of like gymnast or dancer. In fact, it's very hard to touch your feet when you go at over 50. I'll just say that. So I really think this is a terrible, terrible sort of like idiom or way to describe that moment when you say something and it turns out it's exactly the wrong thing. Because if it really was putting your foot in your mouth, it would seem like the older you got, the harder it would be to do, right? But, and only babies would be able to put their foot in their mouth on a regular basis. But I'm telling you, it doesn't seem like that's the case, right? Like, it's not like you grow out of this. So I think, and we get a lot of things from Seinfeld, and I realize, like, you know, using Seinfeld, it's like, that's older than some of you. Like, but I think we should just call it making a pony remark, because I think that's a much better description of just that classic moment where, I don't want to spoil the episode for you if you haven't seen, but Manya dies soon and they all blame Jerry because he was so upset about him saying that he hated people that had a pony. And so I think from now on, at least for today, let's call it making a pony remark. But whether you call it that or stepping in it, that is another way you could say it. Like, boy, you really stepped in it. That one works for me because all of us have stepped in it. And we know what that feeling's like and what that smells like when you get in your car and go, oh, and then you stick your foot in your mouth. Well, see, maybe that's how it came together like that. I don't know. But, like, all of us know what that means, to say absolutely the wrong thing at the wrong time and you had no idea and you had, you know, and it just turns out and someone stands up and goes, you said it. And so I thought we would work on that because we have been talking about taming the tongue all week, which all month. Somebody texted me this week and said, I really hate this series. And I text them back and said, me too. That was it. Like, yeah, I get it. Like, this is hard. I'm terrible at it. You're probably terrible at it. But I can't think of anything better that we could do, not just as Christians. I mean, as Christians, of course, because we follow Christ and we say that, you know, Christ is the boss and we are not. But just as people, my goodness. I think one thing about this scripture we've been reading from James 3 is that it's just so right on so many thousand years later. And we've been sort of using this metaphor all month where he says, among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body, and it can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by hell itself. So all month long so far, we've been sort of using this fire metaphor, and Josiah kind of put them all together for me today, which I think looks like a scene from maybe one of the latest Star Wars. But they're all at a different point, because a fire, I think why that metaphor works so well, is a fire is like the greatest thing that can save your life. In fact, if you've ever watched any sort of survival show. I'm the one who walked in, by the way, when it said drink your own urine. I was like, what? I've heard some weird things here, but that's what, but anyway, I get it now. In context, that could have been a pony remark. But anyway, like, if you've ever watched any sort of survival show, I mean, the greatest thing that you can know is how to make a fire, right? In fact, we're probably in big trouble if something happens with our grid, because we have less smokers and less people who know how to make fires. In fact, every time we need to start, speaking of breakfast next week, every time we need to start sort of the burners under the warming pans, I wish for smokers. I'm like, is no one smoke in this church anymore? How come? Because we never have a lighter. But so fire can save your life, or it can burn down the Amazon. I mean, it's crazy, like, to think about the two sort of sides of fire. Like, it can destroy everything you own in this world, or it can make for the best evening. You know, there's nothing better. Like, oh, I love this weather. I mean, this is fire pit weather, right? Like, there's nothing in the world better than a fire pit this time of year. bonfire. But yet fire is very, very dangerous. So I think, you know, and nothing, I think, sort of sums up the dumpster on fire there. Dumpster fire really sums up sort of what happens when we lose civility as a nation, which we have. It's not dead, but it's very endangered, and not because we can't be civil. We can absolutely be civil with each other, but we've lost sort of the feeling of community, and we've lost our ability to go, hey, I rely on others, and I am under the authority of someone else, and so it turns into a dumpster fire. So all of these fire metaphors have been very helpful, I think, but we're kind of switching over to the pony part of James 3. Well, not exactly a pony, but at least a horse. So just read along with me. It's up on the screen, because we're going to kind of switch metaphors, because up to this point, we've been talking about sort of what not to say. And that's a big part of it. But James says something here which I think is so helpful, because once again, it still works, it's still true, it's still helpful. But in verse 2, he said, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect, and could also control ourselves in every other way. And not what he's saying is like, if you said the right thing, you would be a perfect person. What he's saying is like, if you were in control of your tongue, you would also be in control of everything else, because it's a discipline that's the hardest thing on earth to do. So doubtful you would be out of balance in any other area if you could completely control what you said and what you communicated. And then he says this. He said, we can make a large horse or large riding dog go wherever we want by means of a small bit in the mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. So let's talk about how to steer our conversations. I mean, you've heard that term, right? Like, and you've experienced it. If you have a kid who wants something, they're awesome at it. You know, like, especially like little kids, if they're fixated on getting something, you know, they want the Barbie Jeep. Like, every conversation is going to steer to Barbie Jeep. And so that's sort of what James is saying. Like, we could actually, as much as we all know that, and we know people who do that, like, you know, like they want to get you to do something for them, and that, you know, hey, you know, I'm moving in a month, and they've asked you to help move, and you're like, and you know, like, boy, refrigerators are heavy, you know. So how do we steer our conversation? So this is not just avoiding pony remarks, but it is helpful, because it's like how not to say the wrong thing. But if you notice, what James is saying, and what I think we can learn today, and at least what I hope we can learn today, is that he's saying that, like, we can turn, and this is still true, we can actually take a horse and we can actually make it go wherever we want just by moving its mouth. And that is a great example of what we could do with our lives if we would begin to say the right things. And so what this is, and so it is sort of this idea that this is, today we're going to switch into what to say instead of just what not to say. And you might go, but yeah, we're trying not to make pony remarks. We're trying not to step in it. We're trying not to stick our foot in our mouth. I know, and that's difficult, but I think James and Paul will help us in that. So this is, bear in mind, like, we're not just trying not, it gets very double negative-y when I start this, not say the wrong thing. Now, that doesn't work, but we're not just trying to not say the wrong thing. This is going to be more about, like, how to make non-pony remarks. Like, that would be helpful, right? If you could go into every situation and not worry about saying the wrong thing, even in the political climate, even though there's an election coming up. I mean, some of you are thinking about, hey, I got to go to Thanksgiving this year. Woo, that's going to turn into a fist fight. Like, what am I going to do? And how? What am I going to say? But I think what we're going to do today, and I went to Ephesians 4, because there's a pattern in there. There's sort of a how-to on what to say. And James is really good about going, hey, be careful, be careful. Your tongue is a fire. It can burn your life down, which is so true. I should have said your thumbs are a fire, because it's the same thing now. We communicate with our thumbs as much as our tongues. But today, Paul is talking to a group of people who are new Christians, new followers of Christ. And they live in a world, and I've included more scripture than I really have to here because I want to read this, and I'm bad at reading aloud, so read along on the screen. But I want you to realize sort of the environment of what these people are living in, because it's so easy to think, well, yeah, of course, Christians, you know, back in Bible times, I'm sure they had it much easier than we do. It doesn't sound like it. In fact, it sounds like the environment that Paul was talking about in Ephesus, which is this metropolitan area. It's a big city. It's a trade center. It's a educated place where they're learning all of the new things, and there's politics. And so I just want to read this because it sounds very much like our world today. So Paul says to his followers, he says, "With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do," because it's a Gentile area and most of the believers at that point are still Jewish people, "for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness and they wander far from the life God gave because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him." So he's saying, people in your area don't believe in God and they don't believe what God says and they don't want to do what Scripture says and they have no sense of shame. All right, that sounds 2019-y, right? "And they live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity, but that isn't what you learned about Christ." So I don't say this to just like sort of shame the Gentiles of 2,200 years ago who lived in Ephesus. That's not my point. But the point is they weren't living like in a monastery somewhere. This wasn't like a Christian college campus and they had to try to live right. Like they're living in Vegas. He said, "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. And since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." So that's just to say, you're living in a difficult time, you're living in a difficult area, so if you're a little like me and you go, oh boy, this society isn't super conducive to being a Christian anymore, guess what? They had the same situation. So now we go into what Paul said about what we should say. Not just what we shouldn't say. He says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Ever wondered where, you know, don't go to bed angry comes from? It's from Paul. He said, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work. And give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This is like so much stuff. Like we're going to highly underuse the scripture because there's so much good stuff in there. I mean, like from, you know, the effects of bitterness and rage, and that's a, like we could spend weeks talking about that, and anger, and then he also gives like, hey, don't just leave that behind, but then be tenderhearted and forgive one another. And remember, the reason why we do that is not because like we're good people, but because we've already been forgiven. And so there's all sorts of things in here that are super, super helpful, including the idea that, you know, the Holy Spirit is part of us if we're a follower of Christ today. The difference if you're not a Christian today, you're so welcome, and I appreciate you listening to this Christian talk. But if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've been baptized and said you're the boss and I am not, what we believe and what we find in Scripture is that there's a Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, and it says that our behavior can make him sad. And he said, and don't forget, that's the one, like when you get to heaven, like when you meet Jesus, that's the one who kind of comes along and says, hey, this is your follower. And so there's sort of like a million things. There's like doctrine and there's like good, just like advice, even if you're not a Christian, like there's great advice, like don't let the sun go down on your wrath is something that Ben Franklin would put in his writings later because it's so freaking smart. But here's what I want you to notice and why I'm using this today. Is there's a pattern here where he talks about just what to do, not just what not to do. And I know I hate when I double negativity talking, but example this. He said, stop telling lies, let us tell other neighbors truth. So stop telling lies is the, hey, we need to, you know, that's the negative part. That's, hey, but it's a different thing to tell the neighbors the truth, isn't it? It's a different thing, like, I didn't lie, but now I have to tell people the truth. That's difficult. That's a little different way of living if you actually have to tell people the truth instead of just not telling them a lie. Like, it's hard enough not to tell lies. Like, a lie, it's amazing. Like, I struggle, like, I'll lie about stuff that's not even, like, I don't even need to lie about. You're like, do you eat that? No. Oh, wait a minute, I did. You know, it's like, well, why is that the first thing that came out? I just deny. Like, but telling neighbors the truth, that's a different thing. So here's another example. He said, if you're a thief, quit stealing. And we would go, yeah, that's good, because everything's been disappearing from our lockers while this person's been around. Like, yay, way to go, Paul. Glad that guy that's stealing everything in the church stopped stealing. But notice what I think is like so interesting about what Paul said. In every one of these situations, he would say, if you're a thief, quit stealing. And then he would say to that same person, and then go to work, man. Do work, son. And give generously to those in needs. And so once again, we have like, it's not enough just to stop stealing. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. But he's like, what I want instead, if you're a follower, if you're going to do these things that Christ wants, it's not just you're going to stop stealing. I mean, good. But then he says, like, you should be working and generating like value and income and like sharing that with others. So it's this pattern again and again and again. If you look at the scripture, it's like again and again, he says, like, stop doing that. But here's a good thing that you should do instead. And so that's where we're going to zoom in. There's one verse in here I think that's so good, but I want you to notice the pattern. It's always like, you know, James is saying, hey, your tongue is a fire. True. James is saying, hey, you know, what you say can burn down your life. And that is true. I mean, it's not even like, we can't even like say that's not, you know, doesn't happen in our world. It's so clear. I mean, there's story. We could talk story after story after story, like from the last few weeks. Or there are famous stories like of the woman who's on an airplane going to Africa, has a couple of drinks, and tweets out a really tasteless joke about Africa. By the time she got there, it's become an urban legend. You know, by the time she got to Africa, she didn't have the job that she was going over there to do. And that's the world we live in. So what Paul says, I think, really fits in well with what James was saying. Because James is warning us. James is going, man, you realize, like, you can burn your life down with what you say. But he also said, but guess what? Like, if you would use your words, like, we can guide a horse with a bit, and we can guide a giant ship with a fairly small rudder, you could also guide your whole life for the good. Right? Like, if you said good things, and so this is what Paul says, and this is what I think will help us. Not if you're a thief, it won't change. Here, we'll try it here. I think we're stuck on thief. Can you advance that for me? Like, try it again, sorry. There we go. There's our main verse for today. Don't use foul or abusive language. So that's the do not do. That's what James would say. And that's the, hey, man, your tongue is a fire. You can burn everything down. Here's the hard part, though. He said, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear you. Now, I've had a little, it's not an advantage, but I knew what I was going to talk about this week. And so had the, it wasn't a pleasure, I'll tell you, to know that we were going to talk about this week. So I've been trying to live this out. And I realize, like, not using foul or abusive language is possible even for me. Like, it's not easy. Like, if I drop something right now, I'll probably say something bad. Like, I would try not to, but, like, it might pop out. Like, I've worked on a construction site a long time by myself. I once dropped a paintbrush when I was talking to my mother and said the worst word into my headset. And she said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Mom, mother?" So I'm not above saying terrible things. I struggle with that. But that part, I will tell you, like not saying foul or abusive language is much easier than the other part. Because what Paul said, and if you think about it, it makes so much sense. He's like, just not saying bad words is not good enough. Like, you have to say something else. Like, but what Paul said is, what if instead of, like, making pony remarks, like, what if instead of being the person who, like, dropped the word that stopped the room or said the thing that made everybody mad, or you know, you were the one that said that thing that triggered everybody at your office, like, instead of that, what if you were the guy, and this is difficult to think, that everything you said was good and helpful? And I will tell you, I've struck out on that this week. Like, I've been trying to figure out that. Like, I don't even, you know, it's absolutely possible, but man, this is a different way. And think about, like, how much value you could add to the people around you if you could pull this off. Like, I was thinking about that. Like, I mean, who wouldn't want to be around someone who said good and helpful things? And I like the fact that it's helpful. It's not just good stuff. You know, good stuff's like bumper stickers. You're like, "I believe the children are the future." Yeah, thanks. You know what I mean? Like, that's not good enough. Like, you know. But something helpful. Like, something helpful. And then notice this, and I was thinking, like, oh, this is so strong. Like, this really, like, this one verse is just so strong, because he says, say good and helpful things, and this is where it gets really tricky, and really, like, I realize, like, oh, this is so much harder, but so is everything that's really good, right? Like, it's so much easier to eat than exercise. Like, we can eat and exercising hard. You know, I get that, like, spending easier than saving, you know, both have a place. But I mean, like, everything good, you know, it's easier to watch Netflix than study, you know, like, yes, it is. But notice he said, if you said everything that's good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And I was like, wow, that is, who doesn't want to be around encouraging people? Like, there's something so stinking attractive about it. And it's not that easy to do, I find. Like, I had an advance notice, you know, so I'm like, I got to encourage someone this week. And it's like, man, I'm bad at that. Like, I got to figure out how to do that. Because, but I thought about, like, the people who've affected me most in life. Like, the few good teachers, the few good bosses, you know, the few good mentors that you think of. And you go, that person made an impact on my life. If you think about it, like, the only thing that differentiated them from everyone else, and the reason why you remember them, and I think about, like, the few pastors, like, that have really, like, I still look up to and I'm still helped by, you know, Pastor Gary Brothers from Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I'm like, oh yeah, that was a guy that was willing to say good and helpful things and encourage me even when things were very difficult. And this sort of is a flashback, and I want to read this other statement that Paul made, because it all ties together and we're going to need it. But earlier in this same talk that he was giving of how to live, he said, "We'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head and the body of the church." So what Paul would say is not to use offensive, like, no pony remarks, you know, like, not be the person who's making pony remarks. What Paul would say is, like, stop doing that. You're right. That hurts everybody, and that makes your life miserable. And today, it might well make you unemployable. It might help you lose your job and your family and whatever else. So yes, we want to stop doing that. But it goes further than that, because what Paul said is, then what if we said good and helpful things? That was what came out of our mouth, and that would encourage everyone around us. And is there anyone in here who's like, you know, I got to tell you, I am full up on the encouragement this week. Like, I'm so encouraged, I'm just tired of it. Like, I came to church this morning, and I'm like, if one person encourages me, I swear to God, I'm got, you know, like, none of us are there. All of us are probably discouraged in some way, right? All of us have probably had something discouraging happen this week, and not a single one of us are like, God, I don't want to be encouraged. I just don't have time for it. But Paul tied that into being like Christ. He said, what Christ, if we're going to be most like Christ, if we're going to be a Christian, and that's our job, he said that we would speak the truth in love. And man, that is a flavor combination that is difficult to do, but it's peanut butter and chocolate. That's powerful stuff. So truth and love is like, I'm not going to, and man, it's crazy in America in 2019. Like, I'm not going to say things that are not true. Like, I'm not going to buy into, like, all the nonsense where people are, oh, you have to say this if you're going to, you know, you can't. So I don't have to say, I have to be careful and only say things that I believe to be true. But that doesn't mean that I go around and I sort of like, as we talked about last week, like, I'm going to settle some people's hash, man. I'm going to tell them what's wrong with them before I go home today. Like, I got some words to say to you guys. Here's the problem. No. Because that might not be loving. And he said everything that we say should be helpful and good and encourage others. So here's what I was thinking. I was thinking about this a lot. Like, I don't know, and maybe this is just because I'm getting old, I'm not sure if we say more pony remarks than we used to. I don't know. Like, I don't really have a feeling for it. Like, sometimes, but here's the thing I do know. I think there's more manias, right? Like, I think we're living in a world of manias. This is just Don Record. I'm 51. I'm a white, I'm not going to say cis male because that annoys me. But I'm exactly what you see in front. But here's the thing. I think we used to just be pretty polite. Like, I have a feeling like, oh, you know, like, I probably said the same amount of stupid stuff in the past, but less people called me out on it, you know? But now it's like we sort of have developed a culture where we go, I had a pony. How can you say bad things about ponies? My sister had a pony, and my brother had a pony. We all had ponies, and we loved our pony. Now, I feel like that's our culture now. And that might be just being, you know, closer to the end than the beginning of life. I'm not sure. I'm getting closer, closer and closer to just sitting on my porch and screaming, get off my lawn. I get that. I watched Gran Torino the other day, and I'm like, I totally relate. I was like, when did that happen? Like, but here's the thing. It's like Clint Eastwood. He makes a lot of sense. No. But it's interesting. Like, I do feel like we have manias. Like, we have a lot of people who are more than happy if you say something stupid not to overlook it, right? And just go, hey, why would you say, you know? And so what do we do in this situation? I was thinking, like, here's the great thing about Scripture. Is it really doesn't matter, because even Manya, who seems to not like much of anything, can't be offended by good and helpful and encouraging words. Now, Manya might really not like the truth. We have people in our lives who aren't going to want the truth. But by faith, it seems like what Paul is saying, and I'm not sure I've pulled it off for an afternoon yet, but I think it's possible that instead of using foul and abusive language, we know where that gets us, right? Like, we know where that gets us. It's so easy, you know? It's the easy option, but it escalates and it literally just scorches everything around us. Like, we know that. It was funny even this week, and please don't think, well, that only counts when I talk to people. It doesn't. It was so funny. I'm thinking about this, and I was looking for something in business files, And I came across an email I wrote in 2011 to a client. And I was like, oh my, you know, I was in a dispute over something. I was like, oh my goodness, like I wouldn't, that is terrible. And I didn't even remember it. So you and I probably have so many things like that that are out there. Like we just communicate these things and it just came back as I read it. It was like, oh, I was so mad because they didn't. And then I said, and then they wanted. And I was like, I wouldn't not only probably not say that hopefully now, but my goodness, I wouldn't write an email that said that because it's like, I don't even like reading that. But here's the thing, like, it would be a good start not to do that, but your mom told you that, like, and you didn't listen to that. Like, you know, I grew up in a family literally that, like, dang it was a bad word. And then my dad was a preacher, and so all he did, because I think everybody cusses, they just make their own words up. Like, he was a Baptist preacher, so he just had his own, he'd be, you know, dag nabbit, and somehow that's okay, you know, like, so he had just these made up words that sounded like Yosemite Sam said them. And my mom was funny because she would, once in a while, if you got her mad enough, which was sort of a sport in our house, like, she would come out with a word once in a while that was hilarious when your mom says it. But anyway, like, I get that, like, your mom and dad gave you this advice. That's probably, I mean, good advice, and if you're a Jesus person or a Bible person, I don't care, like, this would be helpful to all of us, right? Like, if we would go, let's not use foul or abusive language, because it's never been more important. It's never been more prevalent, and it's never been more important, because, man, it's not just that somebody might be mad at you. Manya might storm out of the room, man. You could lose your job, or you could lose your scholarship, or I mean, you could lose your eligibility to play somewhere. You could, all of these things, if we don't tame our tongue. I mean, there's never been a better time to have control of our tongue. But here's what I was thinking for you and I. And I also don't think there's been a better time to do this, because, guys, I think we need it. In fact, I know we do. That if we're going to make it as Christians in 2019, it's not going to be enough just that we don't use foul language or abusive language. I mean, that's just true. But this is more convicting to me than anything else, because I feel like I could probably pull that off just by biting my tongue. I think I could stop making pony remarks most of the time, just say less. But what I want to pray with you about, and what I want you to consider, is like how we could, to each other and to everyone around us, but even inside this room, man, I just know that all of us came from a discouraging situation this week, because that's life. And it's especially discouraging because we live in sort of just like, and probably, I was thinking, like, this is why Paul wrote this, because they were living in the same times we are. And you go, that can't be. They didn't have, you know, smartphones. Oh, no, if you read about Ephesus, the people who wrote this to, as far as the climate and the you know, like the political situation and the strife and what Christians were thought of, like, it sounds like America in 2019. And he's saying, man, guys, you're gonna need to encourage each other. And you're gonna need to find a way to be good and helpful to each other, or you're not going to finish. And so I want you to come back up and play some more music, but I want to pray with you. And I want to pray for us, because I realized this week, like, the not saying bad stuff, that's not easy. But trying to be encouraging and helpful and actually adding value to every conversation around you, man, that would be powerful. And man, that's going to be difficult. But I can't think of a better time or a better place to start. Dear Jesus, God, we are so, so grateful for the wisdom from Scripture, because we don't live that long. And it seems like sort of as we figure these things out generation by generation, we try to think about these things and maybe we miss it or maybe we get it right, but we don't really live long enough and we don't remember the sort of the wisdom from the people before us, and so we just sort of stumble through. And God, I know that as a nation and as Christians, we really, really struggle with this. And God, I know it's so important that we figure out how to tame our tongues. And God, I pray for every person here this morning. God, I know it's not a mistake that they chose to come out on a Sunday morning and sit in a room and hear sort of ancient wisdom from a book. God, I think that's because all of them need encouragement because they're going through something discouraging. And God, I pray that through the power of your Spirit, you would encourage us. But God, help us to do our part. God, I pray that every person here would do their part in trying to encourage someone else to not quit, to not give up, to not give in, to not do the easy thing, but to do the good thing and the right thing. In your name we pray. Amen.